Hey, friend. Welcome to Houston Made, the show where I, Rusty Gates, get to talk with local Houston-based entrepreneurs and business owners about what it's like to be in the middle of that journey and selfishly gain insights as I build my own business. In this episode, I got to sit down with my new friend, Laura Perez. She's the owner and operator of Balloon Lux Events right here in Houston. It's a company that provides luxury balloon pieces like garlands and beautiful arrangements for all of the various celebrations of life. I'm sure, like many people, the first image that comes to mind when I hear balloon artist is a kid's birthday party with balloon, dogs, and hats. But what Laura creates couldn't be further from that. She produces these truly epic works that span from floor to ceiling in some cases and have been used in some of the most beautiful weddings I've ever seen. We connected via Instagram, where Laura became a huge supporter of the show, and I knew I just had to have her on as a guest. I love all the conversations I get to have through this show, but I particularly enjoyed this one. So listen in as Laura and I discuss the various businesses she started before this one, common misconceptions around being a balloon artist, and the legacy she is working to leave for her young daughter as a mother and an entrepreneur. Laura Perez with Balloon Lux Events. Thank you so much for having me here in your home.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you own and operate Balloon Lux Events. You are a self-taught balloon stylist.
That's right.
Can you tell our listeners what it is to be a balloon stylist?
So balloon stylist, balloon artist, both names. A balloon stylist. So balloons, I think, have been around forever, right? So and they've been used in a decorative manner for a long time. But here in the last few years, I would say they've just been innovative in a much more luxury way. Still very artsy, but just much more stylish for our more modern clientele. Mm-hmm. So that's what I consider balloon styling. Yeah. And it's art. So the beauty behind it is that there is no like perfect way or like wrong way. So I love that about it because mm-hmm. it is very artsy still.
Yeah. So you're crafting these, I mean, really large kind of pieces, garland and all kinds of different shapes made of balloons of all kinds of sizes, right?
Yes.
I mean, some of them are massive.
Yeah.
How do you describe, I mean, obviously it's a very visual thing. And so I'm
assuming so they range. Yeah. They range from 36 inches down to 5 inches. The way that we like to make our balloons look just the most attractive and dimensional is by adding all the sizes into our garlands. And so we're really lucky to have two really big stores here in Houston that source out those balloons, all the different brands that we like to use, City Balloons being one of them and Balloon Posh.
And you're creating these massive pieces, garlands, all of that for events and for locations, for photography shoots, for all that. I mean, what are kind of the classes of clients that you're getting? Why are people hiring you to make these beautiful works of balloon art?
Well, I think the easy answer to that would be, you know, their celebration, whether it's a birthday, a bridal shower, baby shower, you know, you name it. But in reality, I like to think of it as a memory. Mm. The one reason why you celebrate anything is because it's going to be a memory that you keep forever. Mm-hmm. And that's really the beauty behind it. You know, especially now that I've been in business for a little bit longer, now I have repeat clients. So I've had clients where I do their baby shower and now I'm doing the first birthday.
Oh.
And so it's just, yeah, it's so sweet to see that, you know. So I'd have to say more than just what it is, you know, the birthday or whatnot, it's the memory behind it.
Yeah. Well, they're absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
What you make, really, to call it art is not overselling it by any means. And for you listeners, if you don't have an idea of what we're talking about yet, like keep the podcast going, but open Instagram and go find the account. It's Balloon Lux Events, LUXE Events.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, and go look at them while we're talking because they're gorgeous. So
thank you.
You've been doing this for not that long.
Not that long. I started officially posted my first February 1st, 2020. So like literally like a month right before COVID, and no pun intended. I feel like it just kind of like blew up. Yeah. I know.
You have a lot of blown puns. You say it's not intended. There's got to be a lot of balloon puns.
We have a lot, yeah. Especially here at home. But yeah, it just kind of happened overnight. And it was, I want to say unexpected, even though when I started, I knew I was going to give it 110%. Mm-hmm. And I'm very competitive, so I knew I did not want to fail. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I didn't imagine how amazing it would be a year and a half later. Mm-hmm. It's been so good. I'm so grateful for the people that I've met, the connections that I've made, all of that. It's been unreal.
It is crazy to see the success that you found and the following that you've gained. Obviously, because it is so beautiful, I think that it does play well on social media because everything that you do is
pretty to look at.
Pretty to look at. I always struggle with that, with my media company. That's easy. I'm making mm-hmm. content and I put it mm-hmm. on the internet. People see it. I always struggled to make content as a realtor because I felt like whenever I was showing houses, I wanted to be present with my clients. So it was one thing to be like, I didn't want to be walking around with a phone or my camera shooting video while they're looking at the house because
I need
to give them attention. And most people don't, while they're in that kind of situation, don't want a camera pointed at them.
Yeah.
So I struggled with it. But obviously what you're doing really does play well because it's
art. Yeah, it's perfect. Everybody's taking pictures. When mm-hmm. we're done, clients come out and take a look at it and they're so excited. And the first thing they do is pull out their phone. Mm-hmm. So it just, like you said, it plays very well.
Yeah. So it's interesting to know your timeline of, a year and a half you've mm-hmm. been at this. The episode before this one, he started his business February of 2020.
Oh,
Happy Earth Compost. And similar, right timing. Got into it. Pandemic, I wouldn't necessarily say helped, but it definitely gave the space for him to be able mm-hmm. to do it. And it's cool to have both of you back to back of hearing how quickly this took off. But I know that hard work ethic is not new to you. Let's accidentally get into this. As you said, you're competitive. You shared a little bit of your story in some of the previous interviews of, leaving your home after 18, getting into the workforce, getting a job at a car dealership,
right.
Getting in finance, and then just crushing it there for 15 years, grinding it out. And you did well for yourself, right?
I did. It was really good to me for a very long time. I never actually pictured myself doing anything else until motherhood hit. And then it was totally different ball game. Everything just changes, It's just been wild. I mean, I never saw myself outside of that world, outside of the financing and of the car business. Definitely never thought that I would be doing this. It's not like I grew up saying, oh, I want to be a balloon artist. That wasn't the case. And actually, so what some people don't know is that I, throughout those 15 years of being in the car business, I also took classes for massage therapy. So I was a massage therapist. I've been a fitness trainer. I did custom cakes and I've done catering. So it's not exactly my very
That's
first
amazing.
Shot. I know. I've worn a lot of hats. But I think the difference this time around for sure is that the reason why those didn't work out is because I was chasing the money versus doing something that you're really passionate about mm-hmm. and just enjoying it. Yeah. When I started Balloon Lux, even though I wanted it to be successful, I wasn't doing it for money. I was doing it as a creative outlet and I was just enjoying it. I was getting to know social media, which has been the hardest part for me actually. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I feel that it's been so much more successful. My connections have been genuine versus where in the past I was more so just looking for a paycheck.
Yeah. Do you think that you could have acknowledged that at the time when you were doing your cakes? Did you?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I wanted to do something for myself. I wanted that lifestyle mm-hmm. of, what we were talking about earlier, going to work whenever I wanted to, whenever I was in finance. Even though it was not a clocking in job, I still had to be there just like how it is now, but it was just more restricted. Mm-hmm. The responsibility is so much higher. I mean, you're talking about thousands of dollars, right? Yep. So I had to be present for the company. And then when I became a mom, I just couldn't see myself dedicating that sort of time to that. Where I wanted to dedicate my time to my daughter.
Yeah, your values shifted.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. It's interesting because, I mean, again, you and I talked a little bit before we started all this of some of the other things that I've done, and I've gotten in. I've tried other podcasts, and I have tried, you know, I was going to do woodworking, and I was going to sell those, and I was going to.
Oh, really?
I've done a handful of different things to varying levels of success. I mean, I wouldn't have called many of those businesses, but I would. Mm-hmm. I'd try a hobby with the thought of maybe. Maybe I could make this profitable. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was living in Colorado, living with two of my really good friends, and I just decided I was like, I'm going to make coasters and I'm going to do wood burning. So I went to Hobby Lobby and got this crappy, like $20 little wood burner, and then I was going to wood burn designs into coasters. Like in my basement room of our apartment. And so I was just burning wood inside this enclosed space and made maybe 12 coasters that took forever. And was like, I don't want to do this. But then I had 12 coasters and like put them on Etsy and tried to sell them. And similarly, I think I was always driven by, I want to do something.
Yeah.
I didn't know what though. And I wonder how much of that you just had to do. Like that was like a necessary part of your journey.
I think so, because it just teaches you of what's going to work, what's not going to work. In fact, with this time around with Balloon Lux, I created business cards in like October, November. I didn't even have a business and I had business cards.
Yeah.
So I knew I was going to do something, like you said. Actually, I created business cards for ballooning, and I also created business cards for custom cakes.
Yeah.
Because I thought maybe I'll give that a shot because I really enjoy baking.
Yeah.
So I thought one of these two is going to be a hit. And then it just so happened that that I really enjoy decorating decorative parties and stuff like that. So ballooning was just natural.
Ballooning. I think it's great.
I don't know if that's an official word.
I think totally. It's a word now. It's what you're doing. And, you know, what you're doing is so luxury. When you say ballooning, balloon artist, you know, I'm sure there is a certain level of people that are thinking of balloon animals.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah,
I get those requests?
I don't get much of that request because I think people can see through my profile that that's not something that I do. But I have received them, and I just kind of, you know, guide them towards somebody else because it's just not what I do
at all. Couldn't be further.
But I'm not even going to lie. Sometimes in the beginning when I would introduce myself and I'd hand my card to somebody who didn't know anything about garlands or luxury balloon styling, that was the first thing they thought about, like, you know, creating a dog or a hat or something. And it just total opposite.
They didn't get it.
Yeah, no.
What does your business look like now? I mean, you're a year and a half in. It seems like you've got some success, and some of that's just based on your Instagram. And I say that not just because you have a good number of followers there, but simply by the number of pieces that you have showcased, which means you've had to make a lot of these.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So we're booked a couple of months ahead of time.
Wow.
Yes, luckily and blessed to be so. And it wasn't always the case, but I think I would have to say that started before the amount of followers. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people think that just because you have followers that now you're so successful, and that's actually not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a difference between your audience and your clients. A lot of my clients don't even follow me, honestly, and they're repeat clients. But I think it just started the more you start to post, and then the more people seek you out, the more people are seeing you. But word of mouth is definitely still, I would say, number one.
So you're booked a couple months out. How many pieces are you creating a week?
So I'll do like one or two during the week, and then on the weekend about four.
My goodness.
Now I'm able to take a little bit of more time off. Mm-hmm. And then also in the beginning, it was really just me by myself, which made it really difficult. And then my husband kind of jumped on board once he kind of saw that things were going a little bit better. I think he was a little skeptical at first. Which I don't blame him. But so now with his help, we're able to take on more. I also find that quality over quantity, if I can focus on two, for example, let's say I have two really big jobs for the weekend versus taking on four or five smaller ones, I kind of enjoy that better too, you know, because you can focus all your time on one big event.
Yeah.
And it's just gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, that you mentioned the ice sculpture interview with Josh Graber Ice Designs. You know, sometimes they'll have 11 or 12 pieces mm-hmm. that they're delivering around the city. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about focusing, I just can't mm-hmm. imagine driving around Houston to these different venues and you're like, okay, now when I get there, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to be 20, 30 minutes in traffic and rush to get there and get it all set up. And people are demanding and expect mm-hmm. it's like, it just needs to be done right now. And all
that. So I try to start on it a couple of days early and then I just wrap my brain around each event. Mm-hmm. Because if not, like you said, I mean, you're just kind of scattered, like, okay, what am I going to do here? And sometimes as an artist, your vision may not always come until you're there, and that can become stressful too. So I did find that kind of pumping my brakes a little bit and not mm-hmm. taking on so much gives me more quality work versus just trying to, again, chase a dollar, for example.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and then long term for your brand, that ends up working better.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
The bigger pieces are going to be more impressive anyway, and so if you can, you know, do that. Mm-hmm. So you said your husband's helping you.
Yes.
Do you have any other help? Like,
I did hire an assistant for a short period of time only because, she ended up going back to school. Mm-hmm. But that was probably the best thing I could have done because I was losing my hair over all of it. So in the summertime. And so now I don't know if she's going to come back or I may end up having to find someone else, but, she was showing up almost every day here and it was a lot of help because, you know, aside from that, I'm doing a lot of my work here. And aside from that, I still have my daughter here. Mm-hmm. She doesn't go to school. So I'm doing that full time aside from, you know, my husband goes to work. To say that I was losing my marbles, I mean, I really was. And so I hired help and that was really great. And I struggled with that because, you know, Balloon Lux is my baby and I wanted to have people who felt the same way. So nobody knows me better than my husband and we actually work really well together. He's mm-hmm. my best friend and he's the only one who can like put up with my OCD attitude, you know?
Sure.
And then my assistant was my best friend's daughter. So it just was people who care about me and mm-hmm. People that I could trust.
Yeah. And then the work that you have to do, you mentioned doing some of the work here.
Yeah.
I know you're doing some of it on site.
Yeah.
What's the breakdown of what you can do here and versus what you can do there on location?
Yeah. So we prep, you know, sometimes weeks in advance because there's a worldwide balloon shortage one. So we have to start searching So we have to start searching for your specific color weeks in advance at time, making sure that we have all the sizes. Sometimes we have to order from out of state just to get one size and then from another place to get a different size in the same color. So that starts early on. Also, you know, we try to mock up a design for our clients and then we start the blowing up and then we put what I call a skeleton piece together. I am a creative person, but I like to put all that together once I'm there. Mm-hmm. So I do the minimum needed. And then once I'm at the location, I will already have an idea. But once I'm there, then it all just comes together.
You've talked about this in other interviews, but you had your daughter and mm-hmm. you're now looking at a couple things. You're thinking it's either going to be cakes or balloons.
Yeah.
At that point, what made you think it was going to be maybe balloons? Like, how did you...
So,
the genesis of that.
Baking is a passion, but I realized that it's something that I just enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I... When I was trying to make money off of it, I no longer enjoyed it as much. And then with ballooning, it was never necessarily a passion. I just... it's hard to explain because... I said this in my class. I feel like I'm more so a hustler. It just happens to be that I'm also good at ballooning.
Yeah.
So it just kind of went hand in hand. And so it's so much less stressful. If you pop a balloon, you can easily replace it. If you burn a cake, you have to start all over. I mean, it's just totally different. So it was just less stressful. And so, like I mentioned, it was something that I wanted as a creative outlet, not necessarily something that I wanted to put so much stress on myself. Mm-hmm. It just happened that I was really good at it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I get that. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there have been little hustles and things that I was trying to do. And then you get into it and you start to realize like what it requires and the unique type of stress that comes with whatever that project is. And you go, oh, I don't like that kind of stress.
Yeah.
That's not exactly built for how I am. Right. You know, you asked about this show, and yeah, this is 10, 15 hours a week doing this and working on everything that goes into it. But the stress and the work that this is of staying up till 1 a.m. to create social media graphics, I love it.
Yeah, it's a fun stress. I mean, it's stress nonetheless, but it's a good stress, I feel. Mm-hmm. And that's what I always have been saying, at least for the last year and a half. This is a good stress because it is my baby and it is something that I want to be successful and I want it to grow. But it's also so fun, you know? Mm-hmm. And the other thing was, you know, with cooking and baking, I had to, not only was I going to be doing that as a business, I still had to do it here at home. So if I was doing it here at home, it was no longer fun.
Yeah.
And so I still needed to be fun.
There's no recreational ballooning happening.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're not just hanging out. You know what? I just think I'm going to go play with some balloons right now.
No. I actually, you know, people ask me all the time, do you have huge parties? And I really don't. Mm. Yeah. People think that because of what I do and because I'm in the event industry, that I'm just going to have these elaborate parties, and I really don't.
Yeah.
No, we're actually really chill around here.
Yeah. It's tempting. The big thing I've been thinking about, and now you're already a few months out, so I'm already at a loss, but I think about my birthday is coming up, and I usually have done really small things and just tried to ignore it, honestly. Like, we're not doing anything. People can give me presents, but I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
And now with all of these friends that I've met through like this show, I was like, I could have an ice sculpture. I could have a balloon garland. That's I could have
custom t-shirts.
I could have t-shirts. Yeah. Yeah, I could do all this stuff. And I was like, okay, well, that costs a lot of money. So speaking of which, that's a good transition. I know that it's going to be a case-by-case basis on what they need and the turnaround and the balloons and the style, but what's the entry point for one of your more approachable pieces and what's like the high end?
So the good thing is that we actually offer something that I feel is budget friendly for everybody, because a balloon installation starts at 12 feet, which is $20 a foot, which is pretty average for all the other stylists, you know, in the market. Mm-hmm. So it's $20 a foot, $240 plus whatever your delivery fee is, depending on, you know, what area of town you are. But we also offer smaller garlands for pickup. So if you want to come by and pick it up, we show you how to install it. We give you a little kit so that you can install it yourself. If you only need a 6-foot garland, you know, because sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah.
And so it's easy enough to just come by here and pick it up, and we show you exactly how to put it up.
Yeah. But for those, like, so it really is that simple. It's by the foot.
By the foot.
Because I said, like, the one that you posted today was the one that had the black and the, like, same thing.
Yeah. It's the same thing.
Pretty approachable.
I think that was I want to say it was a 14-foot. I don't remember off the top of my head. Maybe it was a 12-foot. But it starts at 12 feet. So an installation that I have to drive to install starts at 12 feet. Mm-hmm. So $240 is your starting.
And then installation, price. There's some other facts. That's surprisingly approachable.
Yeah, I think so. And we offer a payment plan. So it's 50% upfront. And then as long as it's completely paid, you know, a couple of days before your installation date, I think it's pretty good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. Okay, so you get into this, you say, I'm going to do ballooning. Mm-hmm. And you make your first post. I mean, how different was it in February to a year now?
So different. So much has happened. I've learned so much. I've learned my style. I've learned not to compare myself. I've taken classes. Just different things that I've learned along the way. And aside from just that, aside from just the art, I've also learned so much about social media. I had no idea the importance of it. I really didn't, you know. Of course, I had my own personal page and I had a Facebook page or whatnot. But no, actually, I didn't even have a Facebook page until this. I've learned so much. And I've also learned not to take it, even though it's very serious and it's the biggest part, I used to really stress out about the number of likes, where I don't stress over that as much anymore. So yeah, I think if you look at like my very first post to now, and I sometimes think about deleting those because I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe somebody paid me for that. But I've learned so much since then.
Absolutely.
So I am proud of myself. I'm proud of, you know, my journey.
Yeah. Oh, certainly. I feel the same way. I've got videos that I've made that are not great and not that long ago.
Yeah.
And, but hopefully when people look at it, they see this trajectory of like, yeah. Wow, look at that improvement. That's really good. But
plus, I think we are our own worst critics. Certainly. I mean, the average person probably doesn't stare at the picture or zoom in, you know, in my case, as far as the balloons, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I cannot post that, you know, and then I post it and it does great and people love it. And I'm just, you know, I'm the one criticizing my own work. So, yeah.
But you're getting into it. So, it sounds like you really have, taken it seriously and...
Yeah, I've taken the business side of it 100% serious. I mean, I would wake up at 5 a.m. to see if I got one email, you know, and answer my email, or I'd stay up late practicing. You know, people don't believe this. So before I knew how social media worked, I actually was driving around business to business, handing my card, handshaking with, you know, people, just real old school, because I thought, I've got to get out there. So every single day I was trying to meet people. I was sliding into DMs, you know, whatever I had to do, to where now, luckily, the business is now coming to me versus having to be out there and hustle. So that's how come I feel now that I can kind of relax a little bit. But even then, I mean, once I start seeing that it's like maybe starting to slow down, I'm like back on my toes, you know?
And did you get business from, you know, the door knocking and business cards?
I actually did not. It was so wild. And it was discouraging, too.
Sure.
Until I discovered that it's all about social media, you know.
Well, and again, I think, you know, having a track record and having a gallery to show people and say, this is what I do.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah. So I definitely see my page as like my profile, my resume. Like, this is, you know, what I can show you. This is what I can offer you. And, you know, there's times where people are like, well, I can get it for cheaper. And so I try to tell them, like, okay, compare the photo, you know. Sure. I know that sounds rude, but they can see. They can see.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about social media otherwise? Like, I get it. Whenever I was at my job before I got into real estate, I was working corporate. I basically got off for 8 months, was just done. I think that at that time, you know, I had a son and people liked seeing pictures of my son, but I felt like, I was like, well, then come see him, like come visit him.
Yeah.
I mean, prior to COVID and all of that, I just was like, why am I doing this? And also, I was spending 3 hours, you know, in the car commuting back to and from work every day, sitting at a desk. I'd go to the gym at lunch, and then I'd get back in my car, go home. And I just felt like there was, like, nothing to point a camera at that I wanted to share. Uh-huh. I was like, here's my lunch, or here's another gym selfie. And so I had gotten off of it, and it was 3 months before I left and started real estate. I was like, oh, no. Like, I've got to be on it.
Yeah.
Like, I have to be here. This is, like, people need to. And so I got back into it. And now, it's kind of my whole life.
Yeah. So same thing for me. I mean, Instagram is, like, my whole life as far as the business goes.
Yeah.
But burnout is a real thing. And I actually, just this weekend, I kind of took a break from being on it. Because there's social media and then there's, like, your reality, right? Mm. So you have to separate the two. You try to be as genuine and organic as you can be on social media, but at the same time, it's like, okay, but I'm really more goofy, or I'm really more, you know, this other way. Mm-hmm. So there's times where I feel like I'm not 100% myself, because I have to be like real businesslike, mm-hmm. or more business.
Well, and you're a luxury brand too.
Yeah.
So that's a different thing, is you're going into these super posh spaces and all of that.
And even though I can be very that way, I'm also very chill and silly, you know, all those things. And sometimes I feel like I can't be that way. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, it is a lot of work to create content, because you're not just taking pictures, you're editing photos. I'm on apps, you know, creating stories and that sort of thing. And people don't realize how much time that takes.
Yeah.
So sometimes I have to stay up late after everybody goes to bed, or I wake up, you know, a couple hours before my daughter is up so that I can create all those things. And so it is very time consuming, and it is another job. I mean, I honestly, it's probably the part that I dislike the most.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, I had a podcast before this, that I don't think can be found anywhere, but I had one back in, again, 2014. So it was a while ago. And this is where I kind of started learning how to do this. So I had a good understanding for what went into recording and editing. But I didn't really do much along social media at all. And this time around, that's what I've really had to find. And even with this show of, I want to honor you as guests. And I mean, I want to grow the show as well. And to your point, you just kind of have to be out there. And this is a long format show. I mean, these are can be some long interviews sometimes. And if you're not from Houston, or you're, especially if you're not an entrepreneur or don't want to be an entrepreneur, you don't care. But what I think is, like, a lot of people aren't just going to stumble across this show and be like, oh, that looks like, yes, that's what I want to do. So the social media stuff is the only way for people to really
find
have
to make it.
Or word of mouth.
But
I'll have to make reels and throw those out there. And because I love these conversations. That's why I do it. To your point, I'd love for this to be profitable and continue to open doors for me. But ultimately, I do this because, and I say this at the top of every show, because selfishly, I want to have these conversations. Do this for me. And as a way of honoring you as a guest and all of my other guests, I want people to hear your story and support your business. And that's why we say at the end of every episode, we'll push people your way, because you gave me your time, and I want to, if we can't give you just a little bit of attention in return for that, like, that's what I want to do. But it is, it's so much more work.
And, but you know, the beauty of it is my social media now, and I mentioned this earlier, you know, you have your audience and then you have your clients, right? And I do have, I don't want to necessarily say audience, but these are my day-to-day supporters. Even if they're not going to buy from me, or they've never bought from me, there's people who have been following me. Actually, there's people who have been following me since I did have my foodie page, where I had like 300 followers, and then they transitioned over to this. So I do a lot of it for them, because, you know, they want to know what's up. So, and I like that connection. And without them, my page wouldn't be what it is, you know? So you have to keep them in mind, like you said, you know, it's not just about you.
Absolutely. Well, and you talk about the connection, and that those supporters, like, that's really valid. They're absolutely people who believe in you and support you, even if they don't necessarily buy from you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 98% confident my wife does not listen to this show. I get it. Big time commitment. She's not particularly interested in entrepreneurship, but she supports me. She supports me like crazy and allows me to spend a lot of my time doing this. And that's a big deal. And when you talk about the online connections, I wholeheartedly believe that, like, online friendships are still friendships. Like, I have friends that I've never met in person, but I talk to more than a lot of family members. Because, like, we share a lot of interest, and I'm just for them.
It's the same thing with me. I mean, I have other balloon artists that I talk to on a day-to-day basis. We ask each other questions. We help each other out. Some are out of state. Some of them have even just this morning, considered flying here to take my class, and that just blows my mind. And it's like, yes, let's grab lunch, you know, let's do it, you know? And so, yeah, it is real friendships, I think.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's a good jumping off point to the next question, which is the ballooning industry. Do you have a lot of competitors? Is it a cutthroat industry?
It's not a cutthroat industry. I would have to say that the people that are around me have all been extremely supportive. I've collaborated with other balloon artists. I think that we all offer something a little bit different. Sometimes it really just comes down to who the client likes, you know, they're going to do their shopping. And it may look similar to the average person. We, as the ones that are in it, we all kind of know whose work is what. But no, I would not say that it's cutthroat. I think that I've been lucky enough to make friendships with other balloon artists, and we've had each other's back. You know, if I'm too busy, I send business their way, or vice versa. Some people are on the other side of town, and they'll call me if they have somebody here in my area, or if one of us needs a particular color, you know. So yeah, it's been pretty good. I would say, to me, it seems like there's a lot of us out there, but what would you say? Do you think that do you know a lot of balloon artists?
I don't know a lot of, I think you're the, you're the one.
So I think that that's the thing, that to me, I feel like, I know so many, but it's probably because I just follow all of them, you know, whereas my clients don't, they only follow me. So I'm not going to say that it's a huge community. I actually think it's more of a tight-knit community.
Was it intimidating to get into it? Was there any kind of gatekeeping that you felt like you had to like prove, like, yeah, no, I'm a real balloon stylist?
It was intimidating in the sense of comparing your work to the OGs, you know? There's a lot of people that have been doing it longer than I have. And not even just in my area, people that I follow and that I look up to, people that inspire me. Revelry Goods has been doing it for a long time and they are amazing. They're so artsy. That balloon girl, you know, she's been doing it for a long time. And you're looking at me like, I don't know who that is.
That's fine. I'm going to go look them up.
They've been around for a long time. And so, yeah. So in the beginning, I would compare myself or my work to them. And I'm like, when am I going to get as good as they are, you know? But it's not until you kind of stop doing that. And you just, if you have a creative mind, it's just going to flow. So it wasn't until I stopped doing that, comparing my work to others, that I felt more confident about what I was doing. Yeah. Because it was mine and there was no wrong. It was, that's just how I do it, you know? Yeah.
And people are paying you for it.
Yeah. So I must be doing something right.
It's something right.
Yeah.
This summer, you know, your assistant may or may not come back.
I know. She was great.
We hope that she does. Yes. is there, I mean, when you look towards the future, is it just, let's keep doing this the way we are? Or do you want to, is this a balloon empire that you're creating? Or
you know, I don't have the answer to that. Mm-hmm. I thought about it ahead of time. I thought, you know, what if he asked me this? Because people ask me that.
Sure. And
6 months ago, I got the same question and people would say, you know, well, what about doing a class? And I thought, no, you know, I'm not a teacher at heart. Mm-hmm. I really don't have that sort of patience with adults, you know? And then boom, I did a class. I had that opportunity come up. So I think it just depends on where it takes me. I'm not necessarily looking to have this huge empire. I'm enjoying it. And I think sometimes there was a point where I was wrapping my brain around that. Like, where am I going with this? And then I just said, you know what? Just enjoy your craft. I truly, truly enjoy it. So if the opportunities come to me and I feel like it's a smart business decision, then absolutely I'm going to take them. But I'm not stressed over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel really accomplished already in life. And I know that I'm only going to be 40 years old and some people will say, well, you have so much more. And I do, but I love my life already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great perspective. So, it's a wonderful perspective.
Yeah, I think a lot of people expect me to say, oh, well, you know, I love to have all of this and 100 employees, but I don't know.
I knew with real estate really early on. I mean, when I started, I was with Keller Williams and they really wanted everybody to become a mega agent, which is exactly that, which is an agent who owns a, you know, real estate business that has 80, 200 agents working underneath them. And you're making millions of dollars just from like cuts, you know, you're not even like, and you're controlling the brand and all that. And I just looked at that. I was like, I don't want to do that at all. Like ever. I don't know that I want another agent underneath me. As you mentioned with the finance stuff, real estate, the stakes are high, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars, like making mistakes there.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, again, if I drop a, if the podcast doesn't work, like, okay, that's fine. But, you know, making a $5,000 real estate mistake, that's kind of awful. And I just knew I never wanted to do that. And I love being an individual agent. I'm not saying that I wouldn't partner with other agents in the future or that I wouldn't hire other people. I have definitely leveraged out paperwork and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I've already kind of built some of that structure. But the idea of being responsible for that many people, like, that doesn't sound fun at all. That sounds really limiting.
Yes. And I think it goes back to entrepreneurship is a lifestyle, especially when you've already felt that pressure, you know, in the real estate and for me in finance, I've already been there, done that. And so now that I feel and I realize and I know what this is like, I'm like, yeah, I kind of like my life this way versus all the pressure on me. It's just a happier me.
Yeah. I think that's in the episode that we'll release before this one, Jesse Stowers, Happy Earth Compost, he made the reference that, you know, it wasn't until he went to go get his MBA mm-hmm. that he really started thinking about, he said not the meaning of life, but kind of the meaning of life yeah. and the meaning of work and what he mm-hmm. was doing and his why. And it was through that reflection that he started making choices about, oh, well, what do I want my life to look like?
Right.
And start doing that. And I've said this, that both being a parent and all that that requires of you, which is not unlike having a small business, which is it requires long hours and yes. it's a lot of dirty work and
yeah.
there's frustration and there's also really great joy. But that the requirements that that's put on me or the way that that's stretched me has made me a happier and healthier person.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
It's demanded that I step up and let mm-hmm. go of maybe some unhealthy practices mm-hmm. or just less than ideal things mm-hmm. and start embracing more and more things of like, mm-hmm. hey, you know, like I need to drink water. Why? Because it's a long day.
Yeah.
And if I'm dehydrated,
yes.
I won't be as attentive to you. I won't be yes. able to, you know, do my work later. So like I drink
that
water.
That is a hard truth. You know, when I was working in the car business, a lot of people thought, oh my gosh, she's making all this money, blah, blah, blah. But I was the most unhealthy mentally and even physically that I had ever been. And one thing I did learn too, and I live by this, is pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. So I switched my mentality, and it all goes back to, I'm not necessarily chasing a dollar. I'm chasing my lifestyle, a happy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm a little bit more free spirited than I used to be.
Yeah. Well, I remember there's this, I forget where I saw it. It was in the last couple of years, but it was a psychological study that somebody somewhere did that proved that above $70,000 or $75,000 a year annual income, that your happiness will not increase at all. So
yeah, you think
if you
it
make
would.
Yeah, if you make $75,000 or you make $1 million, statistically speaking, you will be equally happy or unhappy. Like
yeah.
you're not going to get happier by making more money.
Right.
There is a threshold under that where if you go from 30,000 to 75,000, you actually will be happier because, you know, you're not worrying where your next meal is going to
yeah.
come from or your basic needs are met. And I think that's what it gets at is like, once you get to a place where your basic needs are met, mm-hmm. your happiness is really up to you.
Right.
Which I think is like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. But the idea that like, yes, some money makes a difference. Like for those of us who've
yeah.
been like legitimately poor in our lives, yeah. like no.
You understand.
Yeah, when you're yeah. really poor and you're really hungry, a little money would actually help. But after a certain point, you go like, actually, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like more money would allow me to do yeah. X, Y, Z, which would
right.
be fun. But I think I'm like you, you know, we would love to have more money and
yeah.
we have things we would do with it.
Yeah.
Like we have
for sure.
ideas of how we would spend
and
it.
I think I think your life experiences mm-hmm. is what teaches you that.
Yeah.
You know, I probably wouldn't think that way. I'd probably still be trying to find, you know, a get rich quick plan mm-hmm. if it wasn't for those 15 years that I spend making all that money and realizing this is not where my happiness is at, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, you got to go through it and you got to
yeah,
make those mistakes.
For sure.
And yeah, I think I give former Rusty, like old Rusty, a lot of hell. It's unnecessarily because like, you know what you know at the time and
yeah.
you just kind of have
yeah,
to do the best
true.
You can. And
yeah. I was in my 20s. So what did I know?
Yeah. You were just doing the best you could
yeah.
is say, hey, you know, that's, mm-hmm. that's what success looked like at mm-hmm. that time. And it led you to where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really good. Let's talk about parenthood. And I think you and I've already related a lot about parenthood. You mentioned that sometimes like, obviously you're working here mm-hmm. and your daughter's here, she's not at school. And then you're going on deliveries and she's mm-hmm. going to come with you
yes.
and she's hanging out. I read a story where you were talking about how like you're up on a ladder and then your daughter spills chips.
Yes.
Like,
and I actually, that was like a 20-foot ladder. It was the first time I used that particular ladder. And then the ladder also fell.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was a terrible, terrible experience. Yeah. It's been really hard because, you know, when I started, COVID hit And so I didn't feel comfortable just dropping her off. You know, things were still really uncertain. You know, should we be hanging out with our family? Should we not? You know, where can I take her? We've never really been 100% comfortable with putting her in daycare. Mm-hmm. So I was bringing her with me, and it was so hard. And she's a good kid, but she's still a kid nonetheless. Yeah. Especially when I started, I think she had just turned 3. So, and then here, she's just needy, you know, she's not like she's bad, but it's like, got to stop what I'm doing mm-hmm. because she needs me to change the channel or whatever.
I need goldfish. You know? I need Cheez-Its. Yeah, I need exactly. water.
Or I spilled my water, yeah. you know? So it's challenging and it's frustrating, but that's just how I chose to do it, you know? And I probably wouldn't change it. It's hard as it is. And that was probably why I loved having an assistant, because it allowed me to spend more time with her. Mm-hmm. I never wanted, I guess I could have just said, well, let's just put her in daycare. And I didn't want that. I wanted her to see me working.
Yeah.
There was a day before I started this business that she once said, well, mommies don't work. And I said, wait, what?
Hold up.
Yeah. And so I had to like snap and say, okay, I've got to teach her this side too. You know, mm-hmm. I'm here for you, but mommies absolutely work.
Yeah.
So there's that, you know, there's the role model that I get to be for her as mm-hmm. well. But it's definitely been very, very challenging.
It is. You know, and we put our boys both in school as early as we could.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law watched our oldest for a year. And then right after that, he went into preschool. And then our second son, he went in at 3 months. Here you go, take him. But that's not a catch-all. Like, it is because sometimes he'll have sniffles or he'll be teething and he has a small fever. And they're like, he can't be here. I get it.
Yeah.
But it's all of a sudden like, and as the entrepreneur and real estate agent and all this mm-hmm. stuff, I have a flexible schedule. My wife leaves the house at like 6:30 in the morning and it's like not available until 4. It's just unavailable. And so I've spent far more time with our boys than she has. I can say that. She doesn't listen to the show and changed way more dirty diapers. But it also means that if somebody has to stay home, they're with me.
It's you, yeah.
And if I've got showings, it's like, mm-hmm. all right, kid, get in the car.
Yeah.
Like, we're going. And I do, there is a part of it, though, that I love getting to take them. Within the last 2 weeks, for various reasons, either their school was closed a day or one of them had to stay home for various reasons. And the oldest went on, I did some video work and he like tagged along. Yeah. It was like hanging out with the client while I was like shooting B-roll video. And then a couple weeks before that, at closing, and my youngest, 3 years old, went to final walkthrough and mm-hmm. we sat in the title company and he just like hung out and watched his iPad. And I love that. When I, growing up, even though my parents were divorced and in very different places, I got to see them both at work mm-hmm. a lot. My mom leased apartments. And I would love being in the office with her and watch her kind of do her thing. And then my dad did like custom flooring installation and just mm-hmm. getting them to watch him kind of craft that thing.
So now you're doing
thing.
The same thing with your kids. Yeah. I, you know, when I went back to work after my maternity leave, I mm-hmm. would joke and say, coming to work is a break because she is a handful, mm-hmm. you know, and I that's what I used to tell my husband. And same thing, you know, I would be the one who, if she was not feeling well mm-hmm. for whatever reason, she would stay at my mom's house. If my mother couldn't keep her mm-hmm. or my mother-in-law, then I would just have to stay home with her. And then that's just kind of when I decided that I just wasn't going to go back to work. But, you know, that's a huge decision on its own, you know. From two incomes to one income is an extremely difficult decision. But yeah, so, and there were times where I felt like, is this even professional bringing mm-hmm. her to work with me?
Yeah.
You know, luckily it's a pretty relaxed job. But nonetheless, you know, you don't want your child inside somebody's house and then spilling things or whatnot. But because it was during COVID, most of my jobs, I want to say 90% of them were outdoors.
Oh, nice.
So she didn't have to come inside, but you know, still it was hard. It was difficult.
But the legacy, I think, is a big piece. I get it. I wholeheartedly. I mean, obviously my boys are home the whole summer. And then my wife, because she's in education, she's home the whole summer. Mm-hmm. And at one, before COVID, I had my own office outside of the house. And then because of COVID, they were like closing it down. I was like, well, I just took one of the bedrooms and was like, kicked one son out. Like, I'll share a room now. I need an office. And, but it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
But it proves the hustle. It proves that, listen, if I have to show up with my kid, then I'm just going to have to do it that way. Yeah. And it's just going to, it is what it is. And I'm going to be exhausted at the end of the day, but
And I've never gotten any pushback. Like, I mean, I'm not to say that I feel the tension.
Yeah.
I feel
you
it.
Feel like, it because you're thinking like, oh my God, please don't break anything or whatnot. Yeah.
Certainly. Isn't this title company on, you know, the 32nd floor of this beautiful building in downtown Houston. And it's like zen everything. Yeah. And then I've got my 3-year-old screaming Blippi. well, thank you so much for sharing. Is there any advice that you would like to pass along to people who want to get into ballooning?
You know, I would the first thing that I in my class it's been a few weeks now. What I don't know if it's a piece of I guess it's advice. I want to say don't take yourself so serious, even though it's a business and you have to take it serious. But it's art. Don't do it just because it's like, oh my God, that looks so pretty. Let me see if I can do it. You have to really be passionate about it, you know, sorry. And that's what I have to keep telling myself. This is art, you know, create something beautiful. Just let it flow. You know, you have to learn your techniques, of course. Mm-hmm. I still have taken YouTube courses YouTube courses. I mean, you know, YouTube things all the time.
Sure.
And I've paid for a few classes, whether it's been social media class or a technique that I wanted to learn. Mm-hmm. Don't stop doing that. You know, absolutely master your craft more than anything. But enjoy it, truly enjoy it, or else it's just you're gonna be burned out. Mm-hmm. You know. So that's what I would have to say was the number one thing, at least for me, and that's what I would advise to others is you gotta love what you do. And I know it sounds so cliche, but I feel like it's the only way you can continue because it's going to be so hard. And if you don't love it, you're not going to feel the ambition to get up in the morning the next day to give it another 110%.
Yeah, to stay up till 1, 2 a.m. and get up at 4 or 5 and mm-hmm. keep going. I think that's great advice. And if I were going to tack anything on, which I think that you've really implied through some of this conversation, is if you get into something and you try it and you don't love it, don't do it.
Yeah. Right? It's not going to work.
And that's okay. Like, just be okay with trying things that don't become your forever thing. I think that was my issue, is I was so concerned of how people would look at me if I said, oh, I'm doing this. And then we go, never mind. I'm going to do this and never mind.
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe people were judging me and maybe thought that I was impulsive, which admittedly, I can be a little impulsive. But hopefully now, that's a legacy of like, oh, wow, no, like Rusty does a lot and he works hard to find things.
Right. And you didn't give up. You kept trying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's really great. Well, Balloon Lux, some just amazing pieces of art for events and celebrations. Thank you, Laura, for having me.
No, I appreciate you even showing interest really in our business and our craft and our story. I say ours because it's a family thing for sure. Yeah.
It's awesome. Well,
thank you so much.
Congratulations on so much success in such a short period of time. I wholeheartedly believe that you've got great things in store for you, and we'll push people your way.
Thank you.
A huge thank you to Laura and to you for listening to this episode of Houston Made. It really was a delight to get to sit down with Laura and hear more about how she's built this business and found success in such a short amount of time. If you are interested in elevating your next celebration, event, or party with an epic balloon arrangement, visit Laura's website, balloonluxevents.com. That's balloon, L-U-X-E, events.com. In the meantime, go follow her on Instagram at Balloon Lux Events. She has some truly beautiful pieces on her page and is constantly posting new works of balloon art and magic. Go check her out. You won't be disappointed. If this is your first time listening to Houston Made, I'd absolutely recommend that you go check out some of our other episodes with guests from all kinds of industries, ranging from cocktail mix makers to eco homes, tattoo artists to authors. If you're interested in connecting further, you can find me on Instagram at Rusty J. Gates or the show at Houston Made Podcast. I really do love hearing about your projects and all the things that you are working to get off the ground. Houston Made is hosted by me, Rusty Gates, produced and edited in collaboration with Luke Bronner. Our artwork was designed by Stephanie Leal and Sarah Alwegfi in collaboration with Mac Ryan Creative. Credit for our theme music goes to Old Friends, New Friends, which, by the way, you should go to YouTube, search Old Friends, New Friends, and look for the kitchen sessions. Houston Made is glad to be a part of the Million Media neighborhood of podcasts and storytellers. We are people who care deeply about human connection. And in our neighborhood, we find that connection by hearing and appreciating one another's stories and by sharing our own. To find more shows made by amazing storytellers from all kinds of backgrounds, visit MillionMedia.com.